offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. We are in the 13th discourse of the Summer Showers 1990 series. And as always, I have the company of Brother Sai Prakash, and on behalf of him and on behalf of all of you listening, we thank Swami for this opportunity, and let us go into that discourse. The 13th discourse, as I said, is on what is freedom. That's the topic. And maybe before we start into the discourse and the program as such, I think Sai Prakash, you should tell us, tell our listeners about that new initiative you've started about dealing with the same discourses. I think that would be good to let all our listeners know.
Well, it's not necessarily imagining that we have the freedom to do it. We know that, for example, you have a very bad voice today.
Right.
You, as much as you want it to become good, you don't have the freedom to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You know, that's precisely what Swami said in one of the discourses earlier. You know, you have no control over even your own body.
Exactly.
You're thinking of your own life and you're making your life decisions and all that.
Yeah, but so obviously even this endeavor of what we started is His will and Swami's blessings that we are able to represent and remind ourselves of the same message and then share it with all our friends and share it with everyone in a different form. So what we thought was, since every word of Swami's discourse, you know, as some of the Vedic scholars would say that every word is from the Vedas, from the
right,
Upanishads.
Right.
And so every word of His is really so potent and so powerful. And in this particular series, He has been so specific, almost like a school teacher giving us, you know, a summary in the beginning of each
right.
discourse and then going into it step by step. So we thought, if we can really represent some of these discourses in the form of some visuals, that would be really helpful. And so thinking on those lines, we took the first discourse. And dear listeners, it's we were really bowled over. In fact, I was just mentioning before the show started, I am continuously adding the posters into that. We have got a stock of about 30 posters ready for the first discourse. But when I go back to the discourse and read it again, it's so amazing. Each sentence of Swami is so powerful. And he said, why not make a poster on this? Basically, what we are trying to do in this poster series is, this is something which I wanted to put in very clearly.
Right.
We are not trying to interpret. We are not interpreting His message. We are only representing His image. We are rather, I would say, we are pictorially representing His image. So, His message. Basically, whatever Swami is saying, the same words, we are putting it in an image. That's what we are trying to do. As much as possible, we are trying to reduce the scope of interpretation. But obviously in certain posters where we want to represent something, you'll need a slight interpretation of what Swami has said. Even that will be more or less based on His discourses. But the whole idea of starting a poster series, which we have attached to Sai Inspires, and so when somebody comes and sees the poster and sees it day after day, he's actually going through the same discourse
right.
with us. And if you notice, there are two links before the under the poster, where which will lead you to a page in which the entire transcript of the discourse is there.
Right.
And along with links to our discussions, the Shravanam Mananam series links are there, which are based on that discourse. But more along the side on the right, you have posters, these posters coming up one after another. And it would be very nice to actually read the discourse and correlate it with the poster
right.
that we have. So dear listeners, dear and elders and Balvikas teachers and youth coordinators, to whomever these posters will eventually be helpful, if you feel that we could really modify any of them, or if you feel that this should be represent any ideas, please feel free to share with us, because before we put up the poster, we can still modify it and represent it better.
Right.
That's the whole idea.
And if you're still wondering how you can have a look at those posters, best thing would be to go to our website and subscribe for the Sai Inspires mail, because that is where you'll see it first before it comes on the page. We will be mailing it along with the message of the day. So you can go and subscribe to the Science Wise Mail there if you haven't done it already. Coming back to the discourse.
After that, a little bit of marketing that you have done.
Right. And in fact, you know, to look at it, we are so overwhelmed by what we've gone through in these discourses. And,
right.
And I think that is what has possessed our minds.
Yes.
How much we can market this discourse.
No, because...
In the sense, because it needs to be gone through.
Exactly.
As many times as possible.
And what I really believe in is... Yes, we have heard Swami's discourse, then we are discussing these truths, ultimate truths, and then we are trying to bring out this poster series. And with Swami's blessings, we would really like to see if we can take it further into a video series as well.
Right.
If it is His will that it should happen, it will. Now,
we better make that statement after going through these discourses, I think.
That's true. But speaking of freedom... You know, the word freedom itself, when we hear to some of Swami's other discourses, he would say swecha.
Right.
Swecha. And he would often explain it as swa plus icha. And then he would say, what is that swa? Swa is the self. So your desire, your freedom, what we say swecha, or freedom to move around, freedom to do what you want, is actually the icha, that the desire of the self. And the self, the only desire it has, rather it is desirelessness, but the manifestation of the self is only in unity. So when you are attuned to that state of unity, as Swami actually elaborates in this discourse, he says, therefore, true freedom consists in recognizing and realizing this heart or divine principle, knowing which one becomes the knower of everything. And he says, this heart has no form, but it is the unity. It is the unity in all creation. The moment you see unity in all creation, you have, you understand what freedom is. That is one point which came to my mind. And, I was just going through some passages from conversations with Sai Baba, with
right.
Dr.
John
Hislop's
right.
Conversations with Sai Baba. And there's a very beautiful point there. See, when we are talking of freedom, now, I don't know how apt or how, how the point fits in here, but it just came to my mind. You are worshipping God in the path of bhakti. So, you are surrendering yourself to God. You don't have a freedom. You are dependent on God. So, basically, that form of bhakti is, so there in that conversations with Sai Baba, Swami says very beautifully, the path of bhakti still shows that there is duality. He says there is still duality, and where a devotee is praying to the God,
mm-hmm.
is praying to God, the devotee is separate, the God is separate, and then the devotee is praying to God. So that has an element of duality. But as it gets refined and as it gets further, there is unity, because Swami actually said in the last discourse, true bhakti is actually devotion to the self.
Right.
And that's what Swami mentioned in the last discourse. But another point which Swami adds there, which is very beautiful, he says, on the other hand, surrender is the path of Advaita.
Oh, okay.
He says it very beautifully. He says, surrender mm-hmm. is a path of unity.
Okay.
It's not a path of duality. Because the moment... you have given up everything of yourself. You don't exist for yourself. You exist only for His sake. And there is no His and yours. His will is your will. What He decides happens through you. So this point is very beautiful, because unless you reach that level where you are completely identified with God or with the Atman, that is the only true state of freedom. That's what Swami is saying. And then He says... surrender. Surrender is truly a path of Advaitam. Then he gives, in fact, in the book, he gives the example of sugar and water. He says, you have sugar separately, you have water separately. The moment you mix sugar and water, you get a third form, that is syrup. The syrup is as much sugar as it is water. So, he says, in the path of surrender, self-surrender, there is absolute unity. And that is so beautiful, because once you and he are one, that actually is true freedom. So I think we should quickly run through the points that Swami has mentioned in this discourse before we go on to the next clip.
You know, given our recent past as a country, you know, whenever you talk of freedom, you tend to talk about the Indian independence struggle, the freedom issue. So that is one point Swami starts with. Swami says that, you know, we talk of freedom, this land being free, but isn't it just the leadership changing?
Exactly. He said, you are free from the foreign rule, but you are again bound to your own native rule.
It's a change of the people who are ruling you.
Correct.
And it's just that those were people who were foreign to the land, now they are people of your own land.
Mm.
But that doesn't certify that you've been made free.
Correct.
You know, when you read this point that Swami makes, what comes to my mind is that very famous poem written by Rabindranath Tagore. Now, the last line of that poem is, lead us, Lord, to that land of freedom. And the first line of that poem is, where the mind is without fear.
Correct.
You know, here are freedom fighters who really understood it. You know, these are people who have understood what freedom they were seeking to reach which freedom.
Very true, very true. Where the mind is without fear. Beautiful. And actually he starts the discourse with a very strong statement. He says that what is spirituality? He says people, nobody has understood what spirituality is. And he says spirituality is not living in solitude and then going away far from society. He says on the other hand, it consists in sowing the seeds of love in the hearts of all people and facilitating the blossoming of peace and divine love amongst all mankind. I mean, there he has directly redefined spirituality, because in pursuit of spirituality, there are many people who say that let me go and live a life away from society. But he says that is not what spirituality is. And staying in society, living in society, you have to experience that freedom. So then actually, as you mentioned, he went on to the political freedom that we talk of.
Right. Then I think came the point of Swami defining what a heart is.
Hridayam.
The difference between the hridayam and the physical heart. And
correct.
And Swami went on to glorify the heart in different terms, where he said it's the eternal one, it is the seat of the eternal.
Correct. So he says only when we have achieved unity can we claim to have attained freedom.
Right.
So the same thing comes through again. And obviously, if you look at the different bodies, they are separate. Your body is separate from mine. Your senses are separate from mine. Your mind is separate from mine. The only thing that is common is the Atman. So he says, when you live in that consciousness of Atman. See, I think here, what just comes to my mind is, it's more of the whole catch is actually in what you identify yourself with. Now, he says, 100% freedom can come only with unity. But to whom is that freedom coming? Who is experiencing that freedom? It is your true nature that is experiencing the freedom, not you as an identity, not you as this body or the mind. Your true nature, which is Atman, can experience that freedom only when it stops identifying itself with the body and the mind. I think that's how it is.
It's a beautiful point that you've drawn a notice to. Because I think, I'm not too sure if I've got the leader right. I think it was Bal Gangadhar Tilak who said that in the name of seeking freedom, we should not go to the wrong road where we seek freedom for our ego.
Oh.
He said it is not the freedom of the ego which we have to seek. And, you know, that is where he said that, you know, I have a different idea of freedom.
Okay.
And we all are talking about that when you talk about political freedom, when you talk about freedom of speech, freedom of action, and freedom of, you know, doing what we want, which the Constitution protects our freedom in that sense. It's all the freedom of the ego, the freedom of me being able to do what my ego chooses.
Correct. I mean, to put it in same thing in other words, considering yourself as this body and this mind complex, this body-mind complex, you are trying to fight for freedom of this complex of body-mind. But what Swami is trying to tell is, you are not this body and mind. What you are is totally different.
Right.
So actually, if you look at it in that way, as long as you identify yourself with the body-mind complex, you cannot have freedom. Because the body is bound by time. The body is bound by its health. The body is bound by its diseases and its health and its limitations. It is limited. The senses are limited. At 50, 60, you have to get your cataract operation.
It's not only these factors.
Mm.
Even your everyday existence is ruled by so many individuals around you.
Correct.
You know, every emotion is ruled by what people tell you.
Exactly.
Every emotion is ruled by what the results of your actions are,
mm-hmm.
which is based on the other people's response to what you act.
Mm.
So in that sense, definitely there's no freedom.
Mm. See, this is the point. So when all these masters say that you free yourself from the idea of being the body and mind, and then your world will be perfect. So basically, your perception of what is happening in the world will be 100% perfect. Your world will be 100% perfect. It's not that anything in the world is going to change, but since your perception of it changes, it is perfect. So the catch is in where you identify.
Exactly. I think that's the point where Swami comes to when he talks about knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the unreality of present day knowledge.
Correct.
Where Swami says that, he quotes from that Upanishad,
mm.
where Shvetaketu comes to his father and
correct.
Tells that I've learned mm-hmm. everything that needs to be learned.
Mm.
Then he says, have you learned that by learning which you learn everything?
Everything else, right.
Because again, it's the question of, have you identified yourself as the real person?
Mm.
Because that's the other point which Swami goes to.
Mm.
That, you know, self-knowledge being so important.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you? And I do not know who I am. So he says, if you go to a madman and ask, who are you? That madman will say, I do not know who I am. But he says, all of us are mad because none of us know who we are,
right.
who we actually are. I am Ramaya. That's the body. But who are you? That's a beautiful point. Then he says that I, that sense of I is nothing but the Hridayam. Because that I is common in all. Anybody say, I am going to do this, I am going to do that, I am so and so, I am this and that. So that I is what is common in all. Everything looks so obvious and so simple, but I mean, to live it is so difficult.
I think pretty much in that same point, Swami gives that analogy of a piece of art.
Yes, that was painter. A very beautiful.
Really.
So he says, if the painter paints a dancer, for example, so she has bends on her body and in various places. She is giving a very complicated dance pose, but there are no bends and folds on the paper. Similarly, you may paint huge hills and dales for on the paper, but the paper is straight. There is no difference for the paper. So he says, what you actually are is different from what you think you are. So he says, as long as you identify yourself with the body, mind, you will have all the ups and downs. But at the level of the heart, you will not find these dualities or pairs of opposites. Then very beautifully he goes to that next example of a tumbler, a silver tumbler.
Right.
And he says, if you look at it as a tumbler, it is a tumbler. But if you melt it and you look at it as silver, it is silver. It is a mass of silver which has been shaped into a tumbler.
So that Swami makes that very profound statement there at the end of that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
He says that which does not exist in the beginning
mm.
and the end, but mm. exists only in the middle,
mm.
is considered to be really non-existent.
Correct.
Even in the middle.
Mitya Jagat. Mitya Jagat, that
right.
comes and goes.
That which comes and goes.
And so the whole thing is, I think, you know, when Swami says have confidence, self-confidence, and he used to again and again mention it, what is self? Self is Atma. So have confidence in the Atma. That it's not that I have confidence in the Atma means I know Swami is looking at me, I know Swami will protect me, but it is the fact that who am I? That I confidence that I am the self, that I am Atma. That is the confidence he wants us to have. Not the fact that, okay, Swami will come and protect me. When I have a problem, Swami will protect me. Swami. So, more and more we keep looking at him as separate from us. I think Swami wants us to graduate to that level where we say, have that self-confidence. That means confidence in the self. So, that's very challenging, I suppose.
That's what, just a talk I was listening sometime back,
mm-hmm.
in which they were saying, Jesus Christ called the crucifixion
mm.
as the last unreal moment.
Oh, okay.
He said, because that was the moment. I mean, these are moments in life which teach you what is real and what is unreal.
Correct.
So the moment itself, the pain itself is unreal. But that unreality of that moment teaches you reality. So that right perspective and seeing the right things and to see your body as unreal, see that your association of this body and mind is momentary and unreal.
You know, when you're saying this, very funnily, it's the mind, of course, which draws your attention again and again, confuses you, saying that you are the body. But, you know, if you, Swami often refers to the mind as a small child. He says, if you let the child go, let the child go. And the child will look as if he is very happy and he is going. But the moment he comes to some danger, he will cry and look back where his mother is. So he says, don't bother about the mind, it will come back to you. But in the same analogy, if you consider the mind as a child, you know, when children are crying, for example, this is a sight which everybody would have observed. A child is crying and then suddenly you distract the child. It forgets to cry. It's distracted for a moment and it looks, oh, okay, this is so nice. But then the moment it sees, oh, this is this after all, then it resumes the crying from where it left.
There's a lot of virtue in looking at the mind as a child.
Really?
There's something which is immature, something which can be distracted, something which need not be listened to all the time.
Exactly, and Swami has told it again and again. And he has told, just think of the mind as a child. Because it is so fascinated by everything. It wants to go here, it wants to, it tries to drag everything along. The child tries to drag the mother along. So also the mind tries to drag all the senses along.
Right.
It tries to catch attention. It tries to do everything. But then it forgets to cry also. So that distraction for the child that we give momentarily, we have to constantly stay in that level of distraction. And in fact, that is pointing to the truth rather than a distraction. So I think
we'll go to the next clip in that discourse.
Okay.
Jagatunandu ekam sat unnadi okkate. What exists in the world is only one. Rendovadi undinappude kada freedom leka bandhamo aneetundi kanipistundi. Only when there is the second, then the question of bondage and freedom arises. Ee bandhamu swatantramu aneetundi mano kalipitalu. This freedom and bondage are associated with the I.
Vidyarthulara.
Dear Surudu lenappude Chandrudiki manam vilivistunnam. Dear students, in the absence of sun, moon gets value.
Surude undinappudu Chandrudi evvaru kodanu chintincharu.
When there is sun shining, no one thinks of moon.
Poni Surudu lenappudu Chandrudiki vilivistunnam ante deni valla vilivistunnamu.
When there is no sun, if you are giving value to moon, why are you giving?
Chandrudu sota prakashakudu kadu.
Moon is not self-luminous.
Suryuni yokka kiranamulu chandrudu paina padinappude chandrudu prakashistunnadu.
Moon is shining when the rays of sun fall on him.
Adhe vidhamgane manam aatmanveshana lena samayamulande manamu chandrudu aneetundi manasuku ekku vilivistunnam.
Only when we are not looking for atma, we are giving value to the moon of mind.
Ide vedamulandu chandrama manaso jatah chacho suryo ajayata. Ee manasulaku chandrudiku undinatvanti yokka bimba pratibimbamulu yokka sambandha bandhavyanni vedam ee reetiga nirnayinchindi.
There is the type of object and its reflection relationship between moon and mind.
Kanuka manamu ఆత్మ విచారం లేనంత వరకు కూడాను మనసుకే మనము ఎక్కువ బలమును ఎక్కువ సమయమును ఎక్కువ ప్రధానతను అందిస్తున్నాం.
యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ వీ డు నాట్ అండర్టేక్ ఎంక్వైరీ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ, వీ గివ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ ఇంపార్టెన్స్ టు మైండ్ అండ్ కన్సిడర్ దట్ యాజ్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్.
ఈ మనస్సు అనేటువంటిది స్వతసిద్ధమైనటువంటి ప్రకాశం కాదు.
మైండ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ సెల్ఫ్ ల్యూమినస్.
కనుక మనసు ఉండినటువంటి వానికే స్వాతంత్రము బంధన.
Only for the one who has the mind, freedom and bondage.
Manasu undinatvanti vaadike aadhyatmikamu paramarthikamu laukikamu.
For the man who has a mind, it is spirituality and transcendental things are up.
Manasu undinatvanti vaadike prakruti paratattvamu.
For a person who has a mind alone, the question of nature.
Manasu undinatvanti vaadike stree పురుషుడు అనేటువంటి భేదము.
ద డిఫరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్ అండ్ ఉమెన్ ఆల్సో రైజెస్
సర్వద్వందము కూడా ఈ మనసు వల్లనే ఏర్పడినటువంటిది.
ఆల్ దీస్ డ్యుయాలిటీ అరైజ్ ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్.
కనుక ఈనాడు లోకములో స్వాతంత్రము అనేటువంటిది రెండు రకములుగా ఉంటుండాలి.
ఇన్ ది వరల్డ్ యు హావ్ గాట్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆఫ్ టూ టైప్స్.
ఇప్పుడు కొంతవరకు వాదన జరిగింది,
దేర్ వాజ్
ప్రభుత్వ సంబంధమైనటువంటి స్థాయి లోపల ఇది ఈ రీతిగా చేయాలి, ఇది ఈ రీతిగా చేయాలి. కొన్ని కొన్ని నిబంధనల చేత కొన్ని కొన్ని స్వాతంత్రాన్ని మనం అనుభవిస్తున్నాం.
దేర్ వాజ్ ఎ టైప్ ఆఫ్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ విచ్ వెంట్ ఆన్ అబౌట్ ది గవర్నమెంట్ ఎక్సర్సైజింగ్.
దీనిని మనము స్వాతంత్రం అని చెప్పడానికి వీలు కాదు.
The type of freedom which is enjoyed there is not real freedom.
ఇక్కడంతా కేవలము ఒక రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్స్ అని ఉంటుంది.
ఆల్ దోస్ ఆర్ రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్స్ విచ్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్.
ఇంకా వ్యక్తిగతమైనటువంటి దానిని మనం విచారణ చేస్తే,
when you take the individual freedom,
ఇది కూడా స్వాతంత్రం కాదు.
That is also not freedom.
ఇది కేవలము మానవుని యొక్క సంకల్పం యొక్క ప్రభావము.
It is the impact of man's thinking.
ఇది తన మనోభిష్టము నెరవేర్చుకునే నిమిత్తమై ఆచరించేటువంటి స్వార్థము.
దిస్ ఈజ్ ఎ టైప్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్ విచ్ ఈజ్ ఇంటెండెడ్ టు ఫుల్ఫిల్ వన్స్ ఓన్.
అందులో కూడా స్వాతంత్రం లేదు.
ఈవెన్ దేర్ ఈజ్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్.
ఒక్కడు చాలా బీదవాడిగా ఉంటాడు.
వన్ పర్సన్ ఈజ్ రాదర్ పూర్.
ఆ బీదవాడిగా ఉండినప్పుడు తనకు కొంత అన్నం కావాలి.
హీ వాంట్స్ సమ్ ఫుడ్ టు పార్టీ.
ఎవరినడిగా పెట్టరు.
He goes to so many people, no one gives him.
అప్పుడు నా ఆకలి తీర్చుకునే నిమిత్తమే నేను దొంగతనం చేస్తాను, నాకు ఇది ఫ్రీడమ్ అంటాడు.
In order to satisfy my hunger, I will resort to thieving. He says, this is my freedom.
తన స్వార్థాన్ని పురస్కరించుకుని నేను ఈ విధంగా దొంగతనం చేయొచ్చునని అనుకుంటున్నాడే కానీ తన కాన్షియన్స్ అనేటువంటిది ఒప్పుకోవటం లేదు.
In order to satisfy his own selfishness, he wants to steal and he says he has freedom.
తన కాన్షియన్స్ ఒప్పనప్పుడు ఇది స్వాతంత్రం ఎట్టవుతుంది.
His conscience doesn't permit. Then how can this be?
ఇది కేవలం ఒక బంధనంతో కూడినటువంటి స్వాతంత్రంగానే ఉంటుంటది.
This is a type of bondage and associated with selfishness.
కనుక మానవత్వంలో నిజమైన స్వాతంత్రము ఎప్పుడు వస్తుందంటే ఈ మనస్సు అనేటువంటి దానిని నిర్మూలన గావించినప్పుడే నిజమైన స్వాతంత్రం వస్తుంది.
మ్యాన్ గెట్స్ రియల్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ హీ ఎలిమినేట్స్ మైండ్.
స్వా అదే ఏకం.
స్వా రెఫర్స్ టు దట్
స్వభావం. అది స్వభావం.
దట్ స్వభావం ఈజ్ ద స్వభావం.
స్వా ఇచ్ఛ ఈజ్ స్వేచ్ఛ.
ది ఫ్రీ విల్ స్వా ఇచ్ఛ ఈజ్ స్వేచ్ఛ.
స్వా ఇచ్ఛ స్వానగా ఆత్మ.
స్వా దేర్ రెఫర్స్ టు ఆత్మ.
కనుక ఆత్మ ఇచ్ఛనే స్వాతంత్రము. అదే స్వేచ్ఛ.
ద విల్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ ఈజ్ ది రియల్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
అంతేకాని దేహేంద్రియ మనోబుద్ధులతో ఆచరించేటువంటి యొక్క కర్మలన్నీ కూడా స్వాతంత్రములు కాదు.
ఆల్ ది యాక్షన్స్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ది బాడీ మైండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అండ్ సెన్సెస్ ఈజ్ నాట్ రియల్ ఫ్రీడమ్ అట్ ఆల్.
కొన్ని కొన్ని వాటి యందు లా ఆఫ్ నేచర్ ప్రకృతిని అనుసరించి కొన్ని మనం అనుసరిస్తూనే ఉంటుంటాం.
వి అండర్టేక్ టు డూ సర్టన్ థింగ్స్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ది లా ఆఫ్ నేచర్.
ఇది కూడా స్వాతంత్రం కాదు.
దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో నాట్ రియల్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
లా ఆఫ్ నేచర్ ఒకటి, రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్స్ ఒకటి.
లా ఆఫ్ నేచర్ ఈజ్ వన్ థింగ్, రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్స్ ఈజ్ ద సెకండ్.
ఈ రెండింటి మధ్యలోనే మానవ జీవితం జరుగుతూ ఉంటుండాలి.
మ్యాన్ స్పెండ్స్ హిస్ లైఫ్ బిట్వీన్ దీస్ టూ కాంపోనెంట్స్.
అంతేకాని ఎవరికి వారు నేను స్వాతంత్రం స్వాతంత్రం అనుకోవటానికి ఏమాత్రము అధికారం లేదు.
ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వన్ గోస్ ఆన్ టెలింగ్ ఐ హావ్ ఫ్రీడమ్ అన్లిమిటెడ్, నో ఇట్ ఈస్ రాంగ్.
ఒక్క దివ్యత్వం ఒక్కటి మాత్రమే స్వాతంత్రం.
డివినిటీ ఈజ్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
దానిని కూడా స్వాతంత్రం అని చెప్పడానికి వీలు లేదు.
ఎనీవే దాట్ ఆల్సో కెనాట్ బి కాల్డ్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
ఉన్నది ఒక్కటే.
దేర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ థింగ్.
పదములకు అక్కడ స్థానమే లేదు.
There is no room for any bondage at all.
Oka chinna udaharanam,
one small example.
Kontha mandi antuntaru nenu swami ki sampurna saranagatini ayipoyanu kaari naa baadhalu taggaledu, naa dukham nivarana kaaledu, naa kashtamu theeraledu ani anukuntuntadu.
Some people say that we have completely surrendered to swami, but my burden is not reduced, My grief is not removed, my sorrow is not taken, my problems are not solved.
నా యొక్క భావమునందు ఇది శరణాగతి కానేరదు.
In my view, this is not surrender.
నిజముగా శరణాగతి అయితే నా బాధను తగ్గలేదు, నా కష్టం తీరదు అనేటువంటి ప్రశ్నకు అక్కడ అవకాశమే లేదు.
If it is a real surrender, the question of my burden is not reduced, my problems are not solved, would not arise at all.
Wow. These are the same points we also...
Right.
Very beautifully, you know, Swami starts with Ekam Sat. And actually, Ekam Sat Vipra Bhavda Vadanti, that's the thing. And... So he says, when there is only one way, is a question of freedom.
But you know, very beautifully, Swami relates the presence of the mind to the absence of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because Swami is saying that mind, when there is mind, there is difference between Prakriti and Purusha.
Mm-hmm.
When there is mind, there is difference between the Paratattvam and...
Basically duality.
Duality.
Mm.
And then Swami says, where there is duality,
your
conscience will come and say, this is right, this is wrong.
Mm.
And when that happens...
Mm-hmm.
There is no freedom, because that guilt itself
mm-hmm.
acts as something which regulates you
mm.
in the positive sense.
Mm.
But it's also something which says that, no, you cannot do this. You can do this.
Correct. And it's very, very... he says, what Swami is trying to say here, or what Swami said, rather not trying to say, is when there is the sun, you do not see the moon.
It's a beautiful analogy.
Very beautiful. And as Swami was saying, you know, it just came to my mind. I was just thinking about, only when you look at the moon, you see the craters, ups and downs, you see the duality. When you look at the sun, there is no duality, there is only light. Even the moon, the way it is, you see dots, you see this, you see that. Because it is living, it exists on reflected light. It has no existence of its own. It's just a it's a temporary thing. And so he says, when there is a sun, you never see the moon.
You know, talking about the sun and the moon and you not being able to, you see the moon only when the sun is not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was sometime I think a couple of years back, there was a blackout in one of the cities in the United States, which was very rare because they never have power shutdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for a few hours in the night or maybe the whole night, they didn't have power.
Mm-hmm.
A generation of those city people saw the stars for the first time.
Oh my God.
Because the city is so lit that you don't see the stars in the sky.
Oh.
So when that city went dark for those few hours, a lot of them for the first time saw a star-studded
sky.
You know, it's typically, you don't see the divine aspect unless you're lost in your man-made lights.
Correct.
You know, you get so lost in it. And that's what Swami says, you know, towards the end, of course, jumping the points here.
Mm.
And Swami talks about surrender.
Mm.
When you go on getting lost in what you're going through, what you're experiencing, the pain that I am going through.
Correct.
You know, that's when you don't really see the master plan. That's, I mean, all of us do that actually.
No, it's again the question of identification.
Right.
The moment there is mind, there is duality. The moment there is duality, you are identifying yourself with the wrong thing. Because when you identify yourself with the right thing, that is the Atma, there is no duality at all.
Right.
And it's almost like he's saying that, yes, the body has to go through laws of nature. The laws of nature, the body will go through. But that doesn't mean you are going through it. The body has to go through the laws of nature. And he says rules and regulations are separate from the laws of nature. That's a very, very beautiful point. Because all rules and regulations are man-made.
Right.
And the law of nature is quite different from rules and regulations.
In fact, I think most of our religious problems are because of this confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are not able to distinguish between what were man-made rules for that particular society and what were divine rules, which have to be followed over a larger section of people.
And how beautiful it is, you know, when, as Swami is saying, the more and more you look at unity... He says, the more and more you look at unity, that is true freedom and that is the truth. Because all are one. All are one, be alike to everyone, Swami has told so many times. But if there is really that feeling of unity, then there will be no wars. There will be no, you know, hatred. There will be no, you cannot hate yourself. You cannot scold yourself. Nor can you like yourself too much as well. You will be in a state of...
You know, that's the beauty. Because Swami would always say, unity in diversity.
Yeah.
It is not unity in the sense of sameness.
Mm-hmm.
What we are trying to do is that, you know, invariably, if I have a point of view, I try to win you over to my point of view.
Correct.
But Swami says unity in diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't try to remove the diversity, or you don't try to deny the diversity.
Mm-hmm.
You see the unity in the diversity. And I think that's what is very important in this also, because it is not that you overlook the people who are different from you, but yes, we are different, but there is a unity.
That's what. We are different in the level of the mind.
Right.
We are level in the level of the mind and the body, yes, we are different. But in the level of the Atman, we are one and the same.
Right. It's just the acceptance of the diversity and the unity, and seeing the unity over the diversity.
Diversity, yes. Right now we are seeing the diversity over the unity.
Right.
And that's why in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned that I exist like the unseen thread that strings all the pearls together to form a pearl necklace.
Right. In fact, you know, in another discourse, Swami says that the diversity is the most obvious thing to you. Even a casual observer sees the diversity. But in the same analogy which you gave, it's a man who has a little wisdom will think that how are those flowers strung together?
Exactly.
And he will only see the unity.
Correct.
And similarly, Swami says that only man has the ability to see the unity in spite of the diversity.
Correct.
That is what distinguishes him from the rest of creation.
See, that's what animals, here this point which Swami says, law of nature. Animals cannot do anything beyond the law of nature. So their quote-unquote degree of freedom is more or less restricted to the laws of nature. Only man is given, again quote-unquote freedom, little more than what, you know, your laws of nature. So the moment he goes beyond what he is meant to do, he is going into the wrong territory.
Then the later part, of course, Swami speaks about Svecha and Swabhava.
Swabhava and Svecha. And as Swami said, Sva is Atma.
Right.
And Ichha is what the Atma wants or what the Atma perceives. That sense of unity and the sense of oneness and all. I mean, it's so amazing. And this apparent contradiction that is there. Now, even in at the level of the mind, I'm just sitting now and I'm thinking, okay, now I know that I am one, that all of us are one. And but how long can you hold that thought? As long as it remains a thought and it doesn't translate into an experience, it's going to come and go. That's what it is. I think, it is all the effort, rather the sadhana that we are doing, is actually to remove this feeling of diversity. To see the unity, unity is already there.
Right.
You need not see the unity. The unity is what is the only truth. You have to remove the diversity.
And then of course Swami goes to that interesting theme where Swami is talking about Sharanagati.
Yes.
Now, when you're talking about freedom, when you're talking about seeing the unity.
Correct.
Swami is going into that field of Sharanagati, and interestingly you just said that surrender is actually a means of non-duality.
Exactly. So the moment you say that I am going through this pain, I am going through this pleasure, it's very simple. As long as there's duality, you are not there.
Right. So shall we go to the next clip?
Yes, I think we should.
Inka kontamandi. నేను జ్ఞానము లోపల కొంతవరకు సమాధిని పొందుతున్నాను అంటాడు. సమ్ పీపుల్ సే దట్ ఇన్ మెడిటేషన్ ఐ రీచ్ ది స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ సమాధి. ఏమిటి సమాధి అంటే? వాట్ డూ యూ మీన్ బై సమాధి? ప్రాకృతమైనటువంటి దృష్టి ఎందు, ప్రాకృతమైనటువంటి వ్యక్తులు రచించినటువంటి గ్రంథములు ఎందు సమాధి తత్వాన్ని అనేక రీతులుగా వర్ణించవచ్చును. ఓన్లీ పీపుల్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ ఇన్ బుక్స్ రిలేటింగ్ టు ఓన్లీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ మే డిస్క్రైబ్ ది సమాధి ఉండి తన్మయత్తుడిగా పడిపోవచ్చును. హీ మైట్
soon and fall off.
కానీ ఇది సమాధిలో ఉన్నాడనుకుంటాం.
బట్ వీ థింక్ దట్ హీస్ ఇన్ ఎ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ సమాధి.
దీనికి సమాధి అనే పేరుకు ఇది సార్థక నామం కాదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ జస్టిఫైడ్ కాలింగ్ దట్ స్టేట్ యాజ్ సమాధి.
ఇది కేవలము ఒక ఇమోషన్ కావచ్చు.
ఇట్ మే బి ఎన్ ఎమోషన్.
లేక హిస్టీరియా కావచ్చు.
ఇట్ కుడ్ బి హిస్టీరియా.
లేక ఫిట్స్ కావచ్చును.
ఇట్ కుడ్ బి ఫిట్స్.
లేక వీక్నెస్ కావచ్చును.
ఇట్ కుడ్ బి అనదర్ వీక్నెస్.
కానీ ఇది సమాధి కానేరదు.
బట్ దిస్ ఈస్ నాట్ సమాధి.
సమాధి అనగా ఏమిటి?
వాట్ డు యు మీన్ బై సమాధి?
మనస్సును ఆత్మలో చేర్చటమే సమాధి.
మైండ్ గెటింగ్ మర్జ్డ్ ఇన్ ఆత్మ ఈజ్ ట్రూ సమాధి.
అట్టి స్థితి ఎందు రెండు అనేటువంటిది అక్కడ కనిపించదు.
ఇన్ దట్ స్టేట్ టూ ఎంటిటీస్ డు నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్.
సమాధి ఒకే సమానత్వమైనటువంటి బుద్ధి, సుఖ దుఃఖములని కాని, ఆదాయ నష్టములని కాని, పాప పుణ్యములని కాని, ప్రకృతి పరమాత్మకమని కాని ఏమాత్రము భేదములు ఉండవు అక్కడ.
ఇన్ ద స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ సమాధి వన్ ఎంజాయ్స్ ఈక్వల్ మైండెడ్నెస్. దెర్ ఇస్ నో రూమ్ ఫార్ డ్యుయాలిటీ అట్ ఆల్, లైక్ జాయ్ అండ్ సారో, నేచర్ అండ్ గాడ్ అండ్ సచ్ అదర్ డ్యుయాలిటీ.
స్థితి ఎందు మాత్రమే అది సమత్వాన్ని పొందుతుంది.
ఓన్లీ ఇన్ దట్ స్టేట్ వన్ కెన్ సే దట్ ఈక్వాలిటీ ఈజ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్.
అదే నిజమైనటువంటి స్వభావం.
దట్ ఈజ్ ద రియల్ నేచర్ స్వభావ.
కనుక మానవ జీవితంలో మనము దేనిని పొందాలని ఆశిస్తున్నామో,
ఇన్ హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్ వాట్ వి రియలీ వాంట్ టు అటైన్,
పొందేదాని నిమిత్తమై ఏ విధమైనటువంటి మార్గాన్ని మనం అనుసరిస్తున్నామో,
టు అటైన్ దట్ వాట్ పాత్ వీఆర్ టేకింగ్,
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క భావం నుండినంత వరకు కూడాను ఇది కేవలము మానసికము యొక్క వికారములే.
యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ వీఆర్ అవేర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ థింగ్ అండ్ హ్యావ్ దిస్ ఫీలింగ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ a sort of perversion of the mind or aberration of the mind.
Manasu undinanta varaku kudanu paatantram aneetundi evvariki ledu.
As long as man has mind, he does not have freedom.
Prakrutamainatti margamulo edo konni konni idi na swatantramu, na dhanamu nenu atariki istunnanu, idi na swatantram anukochu, adi swatantram kaadu.
In a worldly sense people may say, I have the freedom to use my money the way that I want.
Adi swechha kaadu.
That is not real freedom. That is not free will.
Manobhavamulo yerpadinatvanti konni sahaja sattvika gunamulu.
These are all the sattvic qualities arising in mind.
Manasu anni gunamulu yokka mishramamai untuntadi.
Mind consists of a number of
qualities. Okkoka samayamlo okkoka gunamu abhivruddhi avutuntadi.
One quality emerges and predominates at one point of time.
రూపాయి ఇవ్వాలి అని సంకల్పించుకుంటావు.
యు హావ్ డిసైడెడ్ టు గివ్ 1 rupee.
దానికి ఎవరి ఇష్టమో అక్కర్లేదు, నా స్వాతంత్రం అంటాము.
యు సే దట్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీవన్స్ పర్మిషన్, ఐ హావ్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
ఇదంతా స్వాతంత్రములకు సంబంధించినటువంటిది కాదు.
దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ నాట్ థింగ్స్ విచ్ అరైజ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
వాణి యొక్క పరిస్థితిని, వాణి యొక్క ప్రార్థనను కొంతవరకు మనస్సు అంగీకరించి తద్వారా నీవిచ్చేటువంటి యొక్క బలవంత దానమే తాని నిజమైనటువంటి స్వాతంత్రం కాదు.
ద మైండ్ కంపెల్స్ హిమ్ టు డూ దట్ పర్టికులర్ థింగ్ అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ డస్ ఇట్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ రియల్ ఫ్రీడమ్ యాజ్ సచ్.
కనుక మానవుని యందు ఒక స్వేచ్ఛ అనేటువంటి ఉండాలంటే స్వేచ్ఛ అనేది ఉండడానికి వీలే లేదు సృష్టిలో.
ఇఫ్ వన్ సేస్ దట్ మ్యాన్ హ్యాస్ దట్ ఫ్రీ విల్, దేర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ లైక్ ఫ్రీ విల్ ఇన్ నేచర్ అట్ ఆల్.
జస్టిస్ కస్తగిరి చెప్పింది, ఒక వ్యక్తి ఒక కర్రను చేతిలో పట్టుకుని తాను తన స్వాతంత్రంగా ఒక విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఎక్సర్సైజ్ చేస్తూ ఉన్నాడు.
జస్టిస్ కస్తగి మెన్షన్ దట్ వన్ ఇండివిజువల్ టుక్ హోల్డ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ స్టిక్ ఇన్ హిస్ హ్యాండ్ అండ్ బిగాన్ డూయింగ్
ఎక్సర్సైజ్. లో చేసుకోవచ్చును, తన టెరెస్ పైన చేసుకోవచ్చును, ఇది నా స్వాతంత్రము అనుకోవచ్చు.
ఇఫ్ హీ డస్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ మూవ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది స్టిక్ ఇన్ హిస్ కాంపౌండ్ ఆర్ ఆన్ హిస్ ది టెరెస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ హౌస్,
అదే కరెంట్ తీసుకొచ్చి మధ్య బజారు లోపల త్రిప్పుకుంటూ కూర్చుంటుంటే పోలీసు వచ్చి అరెస్ట్ చేసేసి పిచ్చివాడను జైల్లో పెడుతుంది.
ఇఫ్ ఎన్ ఇండివిజువల్ మూవ్స్ ద స్టిక్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ ఆఫ్ ద రోడ్, పోలీస్ వుడ్ కమ్ అరెస్ట్ హిమ్, కాల్ హిమ్ ఎ బ్యాడ్ పర్సన్.
ఇది పబ్లిక్ రోడ్ లో చేసినటువంటిది స్వాతంత్రం కాదు.
వాట్ ఈస్ డన్ ఇన్ ద పబ్లిక్ రోడ్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
ఇది పబ్లిక్ గవర్నమెంట్ రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్ విరుద్ధంగా చేసినట్టు అవుతుంది.
It would be against the rules and regulations of the government. తన కంపౌండ్ లో తన టెరెస్ పైన కూడా తాను చేయటం కూడా స్వాతంత్రం కాదు. ఈవెన్ డూయింగ్ ఆన్ ద టెరెస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ హౌస్ ఆర్ ఇన్ హిస్ కాంపౌండ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఫ్రీడమ్. ఇది కేవలము తన ఇష్టము. దట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ హిజ్ ఓన్ విల్, హిజ్ ఓన్ డిజైర్.
ఇష్టములకు స్వాతంత్రములకు చాలా వ్యత్యాసం ఉంటుంది.
దేర్ ఇస్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ వన్స్ డిజైర్ అండ్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
ఇష్టం వస్తువులు పట్టి స్వార్థమును పట్టి వినియోగించుకుంటూ
డిజైర్ అరైజెస్ విత్ రెఫరెన్స్ టు ఆబ్జెక్ట్ అండ్ వన్స్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్.
కనుక ఏ వస్తువైనా కానీ, ఏ స్థానమందైనా కానీ, ఏ వ్యక్తి అందైనా కానీ, ఏ కాలమందైనా కానీ, తన యొక్క హృదయభావం నుండి వచ్చినటువంటిది నిజమైన స్వాతంత్రం.
ద ఫీలింగ్ విచ్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద కోర్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ హార్ట్ విత్ రెఫరెన్స్ టు వాట్ ఎవర్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్, వాట్ ఎవర్ ప్లేస్, వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇండివిజువల్ అండ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ టైమ్, దాట్ ఈస్ రియల్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
ఇది హృదయం నుండి ఆవిర్భవించాలి.
ఇట్ హాస్ టు కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్స్ హార్ట్.
హృదయాన్ని వదలి ఏదో లౌకికమైనటువంటి యొక్క స్థితిగతులను పురస్కరించుకుని ఇది స్వాతంత్రం అనుకోవటము, ఇది కేవలం పేరుకు స్వాతంత్రమే కానీ ప్రవర్తనలో స్వాతంత్రం దీనికి లేదు.
అదర్ థింగ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ రిలేటింగ్ టు ది వరల్డ్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఇన్ నేమ్, నాట్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఇన్ ఇట్స్ సబ్స్టెన్స్.
మానవ జీవితంలో,
ఇన్ హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్,
ఉన్నతమైనటువంటి యొక్క స్థాయిని పొందినటువంటి వ్యక్తులు కానీ,
మెన్ హూ హ్యావ్ అటైన్డ్ మేజర్ స్కిల్స్ కానీ అండ్ హై ఇంటెలెక్చువల్స్,
ఇది కేవలము ఎక్కడి నుంచియో వచ్చినటువంటివి కాదు.
ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఒబ్టైన్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ సంవేర్
అన్ని తన నుండి తానుకు ఆవిర్భవించినటువంటివి.
ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ హావ్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ విత్ ఇన్ ది మ్యాన్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్.
ఒకానొక సమయంలో అర్జునుడు కృష్ణుని ప్రశ్నిస్తాడు, చంచలం హి మన కృష్ణ ప్రమాది బలవద్రుడం. కృష్ణ, ఈ యొక్క చంచలమైనటువంటి మనస్సు చేత నేను దేనిని సాధించలేకపోతున్నానన్నాడు.
వన్స్ అర్జున క్వశ్చన్ కృష్ణ, వెల్ కృష్ణ, విత్ దిస్ అన్స్టడీ అండ్ వేవరింగ్ మైండ్ ఐ హావ్ నాట్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు అటైన్ ఎనీథింగ్.
ఏ చిన్న కార్యమునందైనా కూడా మనం విజయాన్ని సాధించాలంటే అచంచల హృదయుడు కావాలి.
టు అచీవ్ సక్సెస్ ఇన్ ఎనీ స్మాల్ లిటిల్ థింగ్ వన్ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ ఎ స్టడీ అండ్ ఫర్మ్ మైండ్.
చంచల చిత్తముతో ఏ చిన్న కార్యమును కూడా మనం సాధించలేము.
అన్స్టడీ అండ్ వేవరింగ్ మైండ్ విల్ నాట్ హెల్ప్ యూ టు అచీవ్ ఎనీథింగ్.
నేను చాలా బలహీనుండి అనుకుంటాను.
You consider yourself as very weak.
నేను కేవలము ఏదో కొన్ని విధమైనటువంటి ఒక సాధన చేత సాధించినాననుకుంటాం.
By undertaking some sadhanas, you think that you have achieved something.
విద్యార్థులారా, ఎవ్వరు కూడాను ఏది సాధించినప్పటికీ ఒకరి వల్ల ఒకరికి సాధించినామనుకోవటం చాలా అజ్ఞానం.
Dear students, to consider that one has attained by one's own effort,
సర్వము నీయందే ఉంటుండాలి.
Everything is within you only. There is nothing external to
you. బహిర్గతం గావించుకోవటమే నీవు చేసే ప్రయత్నం.
ఆల్ యువర్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ ఆర్ టు మేనిఫెస్ట్ వాట్ ఈస్ ఆల్రెడీ దేర్ ఇన్ యూ.
ఉన్నది ఒకటే అయినప్పుడు దానిని పొందడానికి వేరు సాధన ఎందుకు?
వెన్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ థింగ్, వేర్ ఇస్ ది నీడ్ ఫర్ ఎనీ సాధన టు అచీవ్ దాట్?
మనస్సు తత్వం నుంచి కూడాను అవిద్యాభావం దూరం గావించుకోవటమే మనం చేయవలసిన సాధన.
రిమూవ్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ యువర్ మైండ్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది సాధన విచ్ యూ హావ్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్.
So many points, so many points in this one clip. I don't know whether we are going to do justice to it or not. One very powerful statement, he says, as long as there is mind, no one can claim to be enjoying freedom.
Right, and Swami is saying that you think that you have a thought and you have followed what you wanted to do.
I have the freedom. I have the freedom.
And Swami says that is not freedom. Mm. You are being swayed by your desire. How can exactly that be freedom?
Very beautiful point. He says, if you think you have some money and you have the freedom to give it to somebody else, you are under the influence of the sattvic aspect of your mind.
Right.
Which is allowing you to share it. So you are actually not free. And if somebody is going to do something wrong, he is under the tamasic or rajasic spell of his mind. So he is doing something wrong. So he is not free, he is bound by it. So the ultimate sense of the freedom, as he is repeating again and again, can be experienced only from the heart.
Right.
And that is actually unity in diversity.
And then Swami speaks about samadhi and how true samadhi is actually the state of being not swerved by anything around you. That equanimous state.
Being in an equanimous state is, I think, synonymous with being in a state of unity. Because being unperturbed by joys and sorrows, you can reach that state only when you understand the unity of all creation. Is that right?
Right.
Because as long as you are elated by happiness or, you know, pushed down by sorrow, you are not able to see the unity in creation.
I think you could say it like the feeling of unity is the one that the person who's reached the unity feels.
Mm-hmm.
Equanimity is the what people who are around him see in him.
Exactly.
Because for him there is no question of equanimity. Because
correct,
he doesn't
correct.
See the ups and downs at all.
Exactly.
But the people around him see that equanimous state.
Hmm.
So in a sense, I think that equanimity is an expression of that sense of unity which he has attained.
In fact, there's a very beautiful, when you mentioned this passage in that Nisargadatta Maharaja's book,
mm-hmm.
and he says, Master, when I do this and when I know the self, how will... He gets very angry. He says, how wrong your language is. First of all, you think you can know the self through some knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrong. Reality is not something which you can know. Reality is a state of being. And he says, now the moment you think that through knowledge you can know reality, you are putting the knower of reality above reality. He says, how dare you put knower of reality above reality? There's nothing like knowing reality. Reality is being. Isn't it very beautiful? I mean, he says, so the reality is being in that state of unity.
I think that's really a sign of a person who is there.
Exactly.
You know, even for a moment, there is no question of murkiness in that, in the vision. There's such clarity.
It's just amazing. And he says that. He says, when you are doing something for your personal benefit, the whole idea that you're doing something for yourself is that you are under the spell of the mind. That you want to do something. That want is the desire. So you are under the spell of the desire. You are not free from that desire. He says, I want peace. Remove want and peace remains.
Yeah, in other words, when you say that I want to be free,
mm-hmm.
that itself shows that you're not free. Because you have a desire to be free.
Exactly. You are free. That's what Swami is saying. You are already free.
Right.
You have to understand that what you think is not free is not you. That is what it is. But this subtle point is very, very beautiful, you know. How you think you have the freedom, he says about that stick, that man waving that stick.
Right.
He says, I am free to wave the stick in my compound. But can he do it in the on the main road? No. He is bound by the rules and regulations of the government. And the police can arrest him. So
that,
where is his freedom?
Beautiful analogy is actually, the other man says that your freedom ends where my nose begins.
That's right. And he says the police can arrest him. And so he says you are swinging the stick is prompted by your desire. So basically you are, subservient to a desire. And in the ultimate analysis, he says nobody is free. The only freedom is the freedom of the self. Because only God is free or only the self is free. And when you are in tune with your true self, you can get a glimpse of what freedom is.
Then of course Swami stretches this to knowledge
mm-hmm.
from saying that you already are free.
Mm-hmm.
Swami talks about knowledge where he says that all knowledge is already yours.
Yes.
And all learning only expresses what is within. It does not give you anything from outside.
Very true. I mean, Swami is God on earth. He has come in this physical form. But just to take the example, he never sat and read the Bhagavad Gita. He never sat and read the Upanishads. It's not acquired knowledge. It's from the source. When Swami quotes, when Swami tells specific passages from different, it's not that he has sat and, even for that matter, when Swami starts singing Tyagaraja Kritis, like an accomplished singer, it is not that he has gone and learnt Carnatic music. And so he did not put any effort in acquiring knowledge. It came from the source.
Right.
And that's exactly what Swami is saying. You have the potential to reach that stage.
Then of course he speaks about the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. I think that clip is not complete.
Mm-hmm.
Swami is yet to explain that fully.
Okay. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. So the whole point is, as long as there is mind, there is no question of enjoying freedom. Because the mind brings along with it a state of duality. And the moment there is duality, you are not free.
And the beautiful thing is Swami saying you are free.
That's the point.
So, but you're not free in the way you think you're free.
Because you identify yourself with the body and mind.
Right.
And it's so amazing because these are concepts which we will, I think, with experience get more clarity. As long as you're still trying to measure the ocean with your small 1 foot inch, 1 foot scale, you're going to take forever. Because we are trying to understand what cannot be understood using the wrong instrument. We are trying to use the mind to try to understand. But it is just a pointer. It just points you in that direction. And only with true experience you can understand some of these concepts. Because there's another concept of the mind in the book I Am That, mm-hmm. with Nisargadatta Maharaj. He says, inquire whether the mind is in the body or the body is in the mind. So is there a collective mind? Is there only one mind in the entire universe that, makes a volcano erupt there and an earthquake happening here? What is it? Is there only one mind or each one has an independent mind? So some of these concepts we can only read about and talk about. But I think the one who actually knows will be silent.
So I think we'll conclude the show with you, dear listeners. Thanks for being with us. I think we're midway in this discourse, so we'll continue this discourse, but we'll have to wait till next week for that.
Oh, this is a long discourse.
Yes, this is a long discourse, and it's a very intense discourse in that sense, where there are analogies, but Swami's points are very, very profound.
Yes. I mean, like all discourses, discourses are always profound, and at that stage we think this is the most profound thing, when we are actually way back in this series, when we go back to the earlier episode, we say, wow, this is an amazing point.
Right.
But he has kept us in that state of, wonder all through.
So dear listeners, on behalf of Sai Prakash, I offer this program at Swami's Lotus Feet. Thank you for being with us. Bishu is here, he'll join you for the next program. Till we meet you next week at 7:30, next Thursday that is. This is Prem, and with me is Sai Prakash. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.